10 years ago this week, as a piece by Dr. Abdul Wahid, the chairperson of the UK Executive Committee of Hizb ut-Tahrir, says, a good man was snatched off the streets of Pakistan by the intelligence services while collecting his young children from school. Since that day, which was Friday the 11th of May 2012, no one has seen Naveed Bhatt. There is no official confirmation of his well-being or whereabouts, or even if he is still alive. From Hizb ut-Tahrir in the United Kingdom, we joined on the line this evening by Mazhar Khan to discuss who exactly was or is Naveed Bhatt and more details about his disappearance, what do we know at present, and the campaign to secure his release. Mazhar, shukran for joining us this evening here on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is quite an intriguing case in one way, in that we've seen a lot of so-called enforced disappearances, people being rendered and all the rest, happening in those initial years of the so-called war on terror, in the aftermath of 9/11 and the invasion of Afghanistan and so forth. But this occurred in 2012 in a place where a lot of this did occur in the earlier years in Pakistan. In that sense, is it perhaps one of the reasons why this particular case has not got so much coverage in that it happened almost a decade after the worst of these occurrences had occurred?
The thing is, with this particular abduction, is the issue was very sensitive for the Pakistani establishment. So, as we know, the media is regularly put under pressure not to cover certain types of stories and things which are critical of the Pakistani military. Now, Naveed Bhatt had been very open and vocal about the corrosive relationship of the Americans over the Pakistani army due to the chief of army staff, who was General Kiani at the time. So he was openly critical of this, which they found, you know, very sensitive and they didn't like. And because he was openly talking about the influence of the Americans over the chief of army staff, they didn't like this. Now, what really affected them is that this debate and this issue became a talking point amongst the lower ranks of the army, so the brigadiers, the majors, and amongst the journalist fraternity, and they found this extremely dangerous. So just prior to Naveed being abducted, what happened is, if you remember, just a year before that, the Americans attacked Abbottabad, where they claimed that they abducted and killed Osama bin Laden. Now, after that, for the first time probably in Pakistani history, people from amongst the army were now critical of its leadership, which I don't think has happened at that level before. And they were now echoing the sentiments that Hizb ut-Tahrir had been echoing for a number of years prior to that. So they got worried that the call of Hizb ut-Tahrir was now being echoed within the army, within influential circles, within the intellectual circles of Pakistan. So this is one of the reasons they had to abduct and try and muzzle the voice. And remember, even prior to Naveed Bhatt being arrested, just a year before that, there was a case where Brigadier Ali Khan, one-star general who had been critical of Kiani, he had been arrested. Five-star majors had been arrested, being critical of Kiani and his relationship with America. So they got nervous that Hizb ut-Tahrir is having an impact on the armed forces. So for this reason, they tried to muzzle the voice and trying to ban Hizb ut-Tahrir, and they abducted their official spokesman. And it's been now 10 years, and, there's no word. They won't even officially admit that they have him. So, unlike other abductees, they are looked after, they are cared for, and at least people know about their location of where they've been abducted. With Naveed Bhatt, there's no official word where he's being kept. There's no official word on his condition or anything like that. So, you know, this is a unique case in that case. And we have heard through unofficial sources that Naveed Bhatt has been very principled and he has not compromised or hasn't negotiated or done anything or given them a reason to have him released anyway. So he's been saying, no, We want Islam, we want Islamic rule, and we don't want the interference of America in Pakistani politics. So I think that is the thing that is stopping the Pakistani, whoever's holding him, from releasing him, because he's not compromising. They've told him to distance yourself from Hizb ut-Tahrir, distance yourself from the call for the Khilafah, distance yourself from the criticism of the Pakistani army, and he's refused to do any of that. So he's been very principled. And as you people know, in South Africa, you know, you had Nelson Mandela, who had been in prison for 26 years. But right at the end, he also had to compromise on the issue of the capital. So when they said to him that we are not going to negotiate about the capital, the capital will stay in the hands of the capitalist, and we are going to bring no fundamental changes to the economic system. And because Nelson Mandela did as much as he could and compromised on that point, he was allowed to be released. But Naveed Butt, and people have said this unofficially, off record, that he is extremely principled and he will not compromise on what Allah has ordained for this ummah.
Tell us how this entire period, I mean, obviously an anniversary is being used now, Mazhar, to shine greater light on his case. But obviously people like yourselves have, you know, consistently highlight his incarceration almost on a weekly basis, if not more than that. But in these 10 years, have we managed to glean any more information about his condition, any openings to be able to communicate, any idea why would it be that this would become an exception, or such the case being held with such sensitivity over such a prolonged period of time? And lastly, is that What kind of impact would this kind of secrecy be having on his immediate family?
You know, it's a big burden for his family, because he's got a wife and he's got children who haven't seen him for like 10 years. His children have grown up. He's not even had the pleasure of a father to see his young children grow up. All his children are now, you know, in their teens and older than that. Officially, we don't know nothing about his condition. Officially, they won't even accept that they've abducted him. Unofficially, we've heard from certain sources, because of his very dignified stance, you know, he's not compromising on that. He's not distancing himself from the call. But I think more than that is the fact that I don't think the Pakistani establishment that abducted him thought this through. Now, this has become a big issue for them, because Naveed Butt, anybody who's met him will know that he's a very dignified and principled man. For example, he left Pakistan to go to America to study engineering at Illinois in Chicago, the university there. Now, we know that once somebody leaves Pakistan, they make home in the West and they don't want to go back. But when he met with Hizb ut-Tahrir in America and they convinced him that, you know, we need to establish Islam in the Muslim world, he went back. And people found that incredibly hard to comprehend, that somebody who had escaped Pakistan has come back for the sole purpose of making the situation in Pakistan better for the common man. And so he took a very principled stand and he went back to Pakistan. So very dignified man. I had the pleasure of very briefly meeting him about 20 years ago. And even from my brief meeting with him, you could see he's a very honorable and distinguished man. You know, he doesn't get involved in frivolities, and he's faced a lot of difficulties. And we could talk at length, but I don't think we've got time for that now. But he's got a very good relationship with all the journalists and the journalist fraternity in South Africa, in Pakistan. So when he met with them, they all know him. So whenever we meet with the media in Pakistan, they always ask, how is Naveed Butt? Have you had any news? So he's got a very good reputation amongst the intelligentsia there, amongst the journalists and many of the leaders. And he himself is from a family who are involved in politics. He's a known personality in circles where it matters.
Tell us about the efforts to release him, the campaign that, as I would imagine, has been running for these 10 years, but hopefully getting a bit more impetus now that we just reflect on how long and how grueling this period has been.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very difficult period, especially for his family. And I think, you know, really, this is something that the Muslims around the world, I mean, we try and raise this issue as much as we can. But, you know, Jazakallah khair for people like Radio Islam and many other avenues and many other platforms and media sources which have promoted this issue and spoken about this issue, and many other organizations as well that have spoken about this, because it's important the Muslim Ummah around the world hears about what's going on. And the more attention we bring to this case, the more pressure we put upon the Pakistani establishment to release this man, you know, his family have a right, his children have a right for their family, for their father to be with them. So we collectively all share a responsibility in doing this. This is not just the preserve of Hizb ut-Tahrir because he's one of our men. He is a man who's calling for the establishment Islam to liberate the entire Muslim world from the interference of foreign Western forces which are using our lands, even in this post-colonial period, as colonial assets for them, to benefit them. I mean, I don't know if you heard recently, but there is a gold mine in Pakistan, a copper and a gold mine, which they estimate $1 trillion worth of gold and copper resources in that hill, in that mountain. The Pakistani government has sold that, given the rights to a Canadian mining company for $7 billion to have a 50% share in what is mined. Can you believe the theft of the resources of this ummah? $1 trillion worth of gold and copper, 50% of that has been signed off to a Canadian company for a mere pittance of $7 billion. Now, this is the kind of criminality which goes in Muslim lands. And then we are told we are poor. We are not poor. We have resources and we have assets to be dignified and live honorable lives. But it's the political elite that are allowing the West to pimp our land, to pimp our resources and our people for their benefit. And we are saying as a Muslim ummah, we need to stop this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed this ummah as the caretakers to look after the people, Muslim and non-Muslim, the animals, the ecology, and everything to do with this planet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ummatul wasat to take this responsibility. And this is what our cause is about. So it's in the interest of everybody to bring attention to the releasing of the Ifat.
Indeed, Mazhar, last question for you in relation to the Naveed Bhatt campaign and also a broader comment. This tragedy has played itself out across so many administrations, political administrations in Pakistan over the past decade, different figures at the helm. So just your thoughts on the latest political shenanigans in Pakistan and the change at the helm and the political leadership, and if any impact that it could or could not have on the Naveed Bhatt case, if you look at that angle in particular.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point you raise, because when Musharraf was in power, we've had a number of different chief of army staffs. We've had different governments and parties in power. We've had the PPP, we've had the PML, Noon, we've had the PTI. And none of them have done anything on this. Even Imran Khan, before he came into power, he talked about these people that were getting abducted, like Naveed Bhatt, like Afia Siddiqui. He spoke about that. But as soon as he came into power, he realized that he doesn't have the authority to make these calls. And then he went very silent, Afia Siddiqui, and he went very silent on the abductions of people, of political opponents of the street, like Naveed Bhatt. So it just goes to show, it doesn't matter which party is in power, it doesn't matter which who the prime minister is. The system in place in Pakistan is there to protect the interests of the landowners, the elite in the military, and the Western powers. And until that dynamic changes, the ordinary people in Pakistan are not going to be able to breathe and live an honorable and dignified life. So it is for Naveed Bhatt's case, it hasn't made any difference which party has been in power or which prime minister has been in power. So that's why it's important for us, the common people, the common Muslims around the world, to shine a light on issues like this particular case of Naveed Bhatt, who's been abducted now for 10 years, and there's no official word on his well-being or his whereabouts.
Thank you so much. On the line from the United Kingdom this evening, that was Mazhar Khan from Hizb ut-Tahrir, highlighting the case and the campaign to free Naveed Bhatt. There have been Twitter storms recently, and the campaign continues via petitions and many more, and the hashtag free Naveed Bhatt. Thank you so much and shukran for your time, Mazhar, and have yourself a wonderful week ahead. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Always a pleasure.